Am I live? All right. Hi. You guys are probably getting sick of my face, but you'll deal. So I am talking about the 2019 ball. Big surprise. And again, change. So I'm going to try to sort of go quickly through the actual 2019 stuff because the really interesting stuff is the postseason. We've probably all seen this graph. The interesting part is really starting here in 2014 and then going up. This is what I call pre-surge, and you'll hear me refer to that, which is everything kind of before mid-2015. Then there's mid-2015 through 2018, which is home run surge one, and then just 2019, which is home run surge two. So 2017, that was the first time we ran into this. It's also the first time that we really had science digging into it. MLB had their own home run committee come out with a lot of good scientists with big degrees who did good work, and they ultimately discovered that the source was the ball. And they knew that the ball had lower drag. They did not know what was different about the ball to produce that. I got lucky in that I discovered that there was a change to the ball, which was that the laces on the ball that was home run surge one were thicker. You can even see it fairly distinctly here. And ultimately was able to tie that to basically the way that the cotton laces respond to drying, and that the thicker laces may have created a rounder ball. I can go into that a little bit later. That's the current hypothesis. I'm up for a counter one, haven't heard it yet. Now we have 2019. Just when we thought like we had everything covered, we had this season come up, last season, and this one was maybe because we knew what to look for. Lower drag started showing up immediately. Like, this is from the first week of the season. Rob Arthur did this on April 5th. And he was already finding drag comparable to 2017 compared to this being 2018. So, like, this was a 2017 number. In addition, keep this in mind, MLB Joel Sherman published something in the New York Post on April 11th saying that MLB officials confirmed that their own internal testing had shown that the ball had lower drag. So MLB did know that. We didn't find out, but whatever. So I decided to look at ways that changes could have happened to affect drag. I did bring up ultimately, you'll see I hit lace thickness, but the ways that you do that are, according to the home run committee, size is one. They also suggested leather smoothness, seam height, roundness, spherical symmetry. There was some discussion of pill centeredness. I won't go into that now, but suffice it to say that's just hard to do. So regardless of MLB's, particularly Commissioner Manfred's discussions of the pill being less off-center, that's not actually, that's like the least viable of these. So looking for differences. And I should point out that in general, I was looking for differences, changes, as opposed to whether or not they had a material impact on drag, because the balls were different. Players were reporting they were different. So in terms of size, as you can see from the graph here, and again, all these colors sort of, all these colors sort of fit with what I showed in that home run graph. Just it makes it easier to follow years. There really isn't a significant difference with circumference. By the way, all of these are within spec. So if you ever hear balls not being within spec, if they're not within spec, they're not game balls. Good reason for that. So it's kind of a weird thing to talk about as far as game balls. So size hadn't changed. Leather smoothness had. I did this by measuring coefficient of static friction, which is just basically the tangent of this angle when the cover starts sliding down. Helps that you can that I do remove the covers. What it turns out, and this is where you see the first change, is there's absolutely a statistically significant difference between 2019 as far as smoother leather in the context of static friction versus every previous year. And this goes back, at, you know, presumably to 2000. I definitely 2010, but I have some that are earlier. It turns out that the smoothness is unlikely to affect drag. Barton Smith did some good work on this showing that a smoother baseball, if anything, it's either not going to have an effect or could even make the drag increase. You have to have an incredibly rough baseball for it to have an effect. So this is more this change happened as opposed to this did affect drag. However, there's more. Seam height, and this was particularly interesting because it's not just that seam height was lower, but taking the average of the seam height was a factor of 2. Like, this is half as high, which is crazy. And again, this visualization sort of gives you a feel for what I was looking at because I was taking the balls apart, so it's comparison between the edges and the center. It turns out this does affect drag. There was some work by Alan Nathan that showed that. There's been more recent work, again, by Barton Smith, showing that higher seams create what's called a seam-shifted wake, and bigger wake, more drag. This is probably the biggest contributor. Another thing to take into account, though, is the lower seams we're seeing now, plus the smoother leather, despite not affecting drag, did create massive grip problems for pitchers. So this was not an easily pitchable ball, regardless of how it flew. So more changes. In addition, the 2019 ball turned out to be rounder. The previous work that I found was basically, and this is actually the average of all of these. This was a trend that we saw, such that this dotted black line is perfectly spherical. Absent the seams. And so what I found was that the 2018 ball was rounder than the pre-search ball. However, 2019 one is perfectly round, which is crazy. Also, there is, and this becomes important, a statistically significant difference between the pre-search balls and the 2019 balls. Other reports that you'll see will not differentiate seam height and spherical symmetry. It's only because you have to take the balls apart to do that. So it's basically, they have one variable, I've turned it into 2. The results are consistent. So change 3, change 4. You knew I had to look at lace thickness, even though, as you're gonna see, it turns out lace thickness is not actually necessarily drag related. What was interesting here was, here's pre-surge, here's home run surge 1, and by the way, the higher number turns out to be thinner laces because we're talking about wraps around this. So more wraps means thinner laces. This is just from earlier work. But so the 2014 ball, thinner laces. Home run surge 1, very consistent, thicker laces. Home run surge 2, we're back to pre-surge thinness. And the thing that's strange about this is if we go back to the previous graph, these laces, which were like sort of massive deformation from spherical, and these laces, which are perfectly spherical, are the same, which sort of makes for a problem with this idea of deformation around the seams being related to lace thickness. The way that you can deal with that is that it's not a question of the thickness, it's a question of whether or not the laces are stretching to begin with such that you get deformation. The most logical explanation for this is that before baseballs were air dried, it takes several days for a single baseball to dry. If you introduce heat drying, it's more efficient, it speeds up the process anyway, it's like throwing your t-shirt in the dryer. And so suddenly something that's like all stretched out or whatever shrinks back to normal. So by virtue of, and again, laces would have been wet because the covers would have been wet. By virtue of using something like a blow dryer or some kind of heat drying, the thinner laces just never had a chance to stretch, which meant not only did they keep the ball more spherical or perfectly spherical, but it would also explain the lower seams because the seams would just not have been able to expand out through laces that were being held down. Pitchers even described the laces as feeling tighter. So again, this is consistent with everything we've seen. And again, also that lace thickness does not turn out to affect aerodynamics, regardless of what the home run committee report says. Actually, no, they show it doesn't as well. So it's consistent with my results, is maybe the point. Why did this happen? Turns out, as sort of in conjunction with the report for the 2017 home run surge, Within a couple of weeks, MLB announced that they were purchasing part of Rawlings, and that purchase was basically focused on the baseball and baseball manufacturing. And their goals were, you know, they wanted to improve quality control. They wanted more oversight involvement. This was all based on recommendations from the Home Run Committee to essentially make the ball more consistent, make it better, make it more predictable. It looks like they actually did a good job. I mean, smoother leather is kind of a standard that Rawlings has gone for in the past as higher quality. As far as oversight, those thinner laces turn out to be a good thing. That's the one thing that's good for pitchers here, in that the thicker laces from Home Run Surge 1 were correlated with the pitcher blister epidemic. And so by making the laces thin again, we may have heard problems from pitchers, but they weren't blisters. Pitchers were not having blister issues this year. So kudos to Rawlings and MLB for taking this into account and at least dealing with this for pitchers. As far as, you know, direct involvement, and this is sort of efficiency, talked about the drying process to improve efficiency. This actually makes sense because this was the first year that the 2019 ball was introduced into AAA. And that would have upped the manufacturing substantially. And so if you're producing more baseballs, the idea of introducing efficiency makes a lot of sense. So these are all really good business decisions. You end up with the baseball that we saw for 2019 based on this. Basically, they did a good job. Kudos. Now we get to the good stuff. This is not to scale, but starting on October 1st, the ball kind of died. I'm calling it the dead ball. It's not exactly. In fact, it's more like a zombie ball because it keeps coming back. Maybe I'll call it that from now on. I like the zombie ball better. So what happened was literally on October 1st, we got this sudden onset. And you can see this is, again, Rob Arthur. This is a day-by-day drag graph. It's going to show scatter, but you can see, again, it's reasonably flat. You know, and then can you tell when October 1st hits? And the error bars are larger also just because there are fewer games. But this is all over the place. And it really didn't make sense because it happened suddenly. The drag on average was higher, but you also had these day-to-day and game-to-game fluctuations with the drag that really nobody could account for. We did have a few official statements that came out, and these are not chronological. This is more the way I'm choosing to address them. Rawlings CMO, Mike Thompson, did go on the record with Katie Strang saying that, in fact, it was normal if they needed to use balls from previous seasons as game balls, they would. So existing inventory as part of game balls was fine. MLB came out with two statements. The first one was from during the postseason. The second was one that was given directly to me for an article I published in November. And the one that most people saw was stated that postseason balls were being taken from regular season batches and that the only difference was the postseason stamp. I then had a statement directly from the VP, MLB's VP of League Economics at the time. He now has a much cooler title than that. That all of the game balls used during the postseason were made during, or I should say produced, I believe is the word he used, during the first quarter of 2019. So the issue here becomes that in theory, these don't necessarily match up, and they all seem related to date of manufacture. So I decided to look at production date. What I found, I did not have huge samples for these, partly because they're just hard to get, but also because it turns out that all I'm trying to do is disprove one or more of those statements, and if you're trying to disprove something, you don't need a huge sample. It's not the same thing. It's not a statistics thing. So what I found was I had three balls that were game used that were labeled 2019 postseason, basically like ball A here, and seven balls that were unused game balls that were labeled 2019 World Series. And these were all game balls. For ball A, which is again labeled 2019 postseason, there were two things I looked at. Lace thickness, because we saw such a dramatic difference, and that's like an easy one that you can tell just from a single ball is going to be different. And then I also managed to decipher the batch codes, not entirely, but enough to be able to get like a date per year such that I could then differentiate between, say, 2018 and 2019, according to Rawlings batch codes. So as far as lace thickness, what I found was that ball A, the one labeled postseason, did in fact have 2019 thick laces. And for anybody who's here, I actually have samples showing this stuff in my magic box that has all of the toys. And God, that sounded bad phrasing. anyway, ball B, turns out that the laces were far too thick to be 2019. They were definitely pre-2019 of some sort. As far as the batch code designations, by the way, these are representative, and one of the 2018 postseason balls is in fact one of these, but anonymity is key, particularly for the postseason. So I'm not showing you the real batch codes because I can't afford them to be tracked to my sources. It was a big deal. So anyway, for ball A, it turns out that it had a batch code like this, which was fit with the 2019 regular season. Ball B had literally exactly the same as one of these three, which were all 2018 and appear to be manufactured in one of the last batches of 2018. So what that means, what I also found, and this was interesting, was we've already seen, okay, there's some kind of mix. In addition, quality control before the postseason would always have, and this is my own experience, Rawlings has not confirmed this, but having taken apart a lot of baseball, I mean, like more than 100, just a lot, we've got game balls would have this, what I was almost call a clockwise direction for the stitches. This one, of the three I got, one of them had stitches going in the opposite direction. In the past, this likely would have been a quality control fail. I showed something about this with the juice ball panel. So essentially what they were doing was they were using a ball that would have been disqualified before now as a game ball during the postseason. So now we got it. So what are the differences we're looking at? Well, first of all, we're looking, and this is actually the big thing here. We're looking at a mix of 2019 and certainly 2018, but possibly further back, balls, game balls used during postseason games. They're not all 2019. It fits with Rob Arthur's findings of the day-to-day fluctuations. It fits with descriptions I've gotten from pitchers about getting balls different, like, you know, back-to-back, thrown differently from umpires. There's also this idea that the quality control standard had been relaxed. I should point out that those balls are still game quality. It's more an aesthetic thing. But to go back to these official statements that I brought up before, what we're seeing is completely consistent, or at least the date stuff, is consistent with what Rawlings said about using balls from previous seasons. That's fine. MLB has become problematic, though, because the postseason balls taken from regular season batches is technically true. Those 2018 balls came from regular season batches. They came from 2018 regular season batches, but they did come from regular season batches. So it's kind of a, you know, phrasing. And as far as the official statement to me from the commissioner's office, though, that all of the balls used during postseason games in 2019 being produced in the first quarter of 2019, that is demonstrably false. Just leave it at that. Why is the obvious question. Why the heck were they going and relaxing quality control? Why were they introducing 2018 balls? This is actually a headline from The Onion from 2017. I love how life imitates art. This is basically it. They ran out of baseballs. They literally ran out of baseballs. I encourage you, in fact, to track down this article and read it because the wording is even more accurate than like what I'm just, it's bizarre reading it. It's like, okay, they summarized my report 2 years in advance. So what happened? Where did all the baseballs go? Two things. First of all, AAA, like I said, this was the first year that they introduced the Major League ball. And it turns out that the Major League ball just really wasn't great for AAA usage. The assumption for usage was that a ball would last like a half a dozen pitches. However, and I have the ball here for people who are here, it's hard to see. the 2019 balls would scuff really, really badly. And so what was happening was you would have pitchers discarding balls after only a few pitches, not lasting for half a dozen. And so the projected usage, which I've gotten numbers from J.J. Cooper that he got from Mike Thompson with Rawlings, there would have been maybe 300,000 balls produced. They did a great job, and they even put a 10% cushion of 30,000. But they went over by 30%, so by like 90,000. Which, by the way, there was only 2,000 additional home runs hit, so most of these were discards. What that means, though, was that they were 60,000 balls short. Watch that number. At the same time, usage was also up with MLB. Molly Knight did a great article in The Athletic on this. And what you have to realize is Rawlings typically produces 1.2 million balls for MLB use every year. Certainly up through 2017, we actually have like reports saying that, you know, roughly 900,000 balls would have been used across league, and there would have been a surplus of around 300,000. What Molly's article showed was that instead, as of the end of August, the projected usage was 1.14 million. 240,000 additional balls were being used. There were a few reasons. An additional 1,000 home runs, not much. Additional discards, some. But the report pretty much focused on the fact that game-used ball authentication was really, really increased. Such that, I mean, and here you go. Those are game-used authenticated balls. A lot more than there would have been in the past. The way it was reported was that every ball that left the pitcher's hand that ended up back in the dugout, and there would be an authenticator in each dugout, was then authenticated and removed from circulation for sale. How much that contributes, but regardless of that, we know that instead of having a surplus of 300,000, going through 1.14 million means they would have had a surplus of 60,000. Look who needed 60,000 additional baseballs. So by the time you take that MLB surplus, and by the way, 60,000 would have been plenty for the postseason, but AAA was using the same ball. MLB has 60,000 left over, AAA's 60,000 short. Zero. They ran out of baseballs. Plus or minus a few thousand, because obviously we saw 2019 balls in the postseason, but the point being there weren't enough. There couldn't have been enough to supply all of the postseason, hence going to, say, 2018 balls, hence using balls that would have been rejected for quality control. They ran out. So where this kind of takes us and where I think the most interesting questions lie, maybe not the most interesting scientific questions, though, are just not just why did this happen, but why was it approached in the way that MLB approached it? In that Rawlings really did produce the best baseball ever, you know, so far. What they consider important, smoother leather, rounder ball, lower seams. They nailed all of those. So for Rawlings' sort of specs, for what they consider important, this is it. They made as close to the perfect baseball as you can do. Turns out that the perfect baseball isn't that easy to play baseball with, but that wasn't the criteria. The criteria was what Rawlings considered important for their production. What does become a problem, what happened? Hang on, I'll fix this, I think. Sorry, there wasn't much left anyway. How do I go to the end? Anyway, so what happened was, what I find odd is that the way MLB communicated about this was, I don't get it. There was a lot of inconsistency. Starting with the regular season, we did have reports from MLB officials at the beginning of April that they had internal testing showing lower drag, and yet for some reason the commissioner spent the first half of the season just talking about natural materials, ball-to-ball variation, took till close to the All-Star break before he was comfortable saying, and I believe the phrase was, there's a drag issue. Wasn't even lower drag. That was just the phrase he used. On top of that, we then have those MLB statements versus Rawlings statements. Rawlings was absolutely on the money for how you supply baseballs. MLB's statements were anywhere from vague to false. And the thing is, they had to do it. There weren't baseballs. Like, there would have been no postseason had they not used 2018 baseballs. So I'm not really sure I understand the reason why it was so important for those to be 2019 baseballs per Sword's statement. What I do also find, and I would love it if somebody went back and looked at this, is if you look at the 2019 home run committee's results, and I should say these are preliminary results, they do fit with a mixed population in terms of the drag for the postseason. The regular season stuff looks great. The postseason drag was definitely up. And the way that Rawlings worded it was that they kind of used the same statement about postseason balls being pulled from regular season batches. And I want to make sure I get this quote right. So based on that, by the way, no year specified, just the same postseason balls from regular season batches. The quote from the committee report is, "There would therefore be no reason to suspect a change in the performance properties of the baseball between the regular and postseason." It's entirely possible they got all 2019 balls and the variations are fluke, but it strikes me that it would have been due diligence on Rawlings' part to say, you know, maybe there might be a 2018 ball in there, you know, just keep an eye out. They didn't. And then when the press conference was done about this, releasing it, instead we had MLB basically being very clear that these were 2019 balls, to the point of claiming that ball-to-ball variation was such a big deal that it was essentially unfixable. I will have upcoming work showing that that's not true. It's in fact very easy to isolate the ball-to-ball variation. I know how to do it. I've already done it. The idea of MLB not being willing to acknowledge, I mean, forget change. Like, they knew the drag was lower, or the drag was higher, excuse me, in 2018. There's no question of that. Like, that's the only reason that you say, you know, drag is different and lower is because the previous year was higher. So that is strange, but the idea that they would choose to take what's basically the perfect baseball and undermine that with this ball-to-ball variation being too big a deal to deal with, such that they can then, you know, more comfortably state that they're 2019 baseballs, I guess I don't get that. It seems like there's this reluctance to acknowledge change that seems to be important to MLB that I feel like doesn't help any of us. I mean, they didn't tell anybody. They didn't tell anybody, including the home run committee. So there you go. I even have 3 minutes left. I can't believe that. Barton Smith should be on this thank you list. I feel bad. Thank you to The Athletic for letting me publish this. Thank you to Rob Arthur for doing such great work and letting me steal all this stuff. Thank you to Sabre for everything. You know, not just this talk, but the whole conference has been amazing. And if anybody has questions, now is good, or after is good, too? Yes, Russell?
So do you think that MLB and Rawlings have the ability to change the ball to deaden it or to make it better? I think yesterday you said that kind of like by changing the laces or the leather, they don't have the ability to make a quick change in the future. But what can they do if they wanted to do that?
I'm not sure. Let's put it this way. With the current infrastructure or the current way it's done, I mean, they're very, let's say, there's extreme lack of transparency, might be the best way to put it. And so until we understand more about their process and their decision making, I'm reverse engineering a lot, but it would probably help if, you know, people like me or Barton or Rob could get involved in a way, because I think we have information to contribute where that could be done. But without that, no, I'm not actually confident that they could make changes, particularly to things like the seam height, based on this. You know, I can think of ways to do it, but I won't do their job for them. Okay. Yeah, give him the mic. Sorry, I can't hear that very well.
Did you consider a coarse field factor in your research by chance?
Whose research?
Coarse field factor, like ballpark factor.
Oh, park factor. No, in this case, my work was entirely related to construction. People like Rob Arthur would be the person to talk to for park factor. I, in fact, did nothing on the aerodynamics other than find essentially structural components that were consistent. That's pretty much it, or the differences in manufacture. I have no idea. I don't. It would be interesting to know if, yeah, I guess that's all I can really say to it. Yeah. Good question. I agree. Thank you.